Well, have you ever received that phone call that you hoped you'd never get? I remember many, many years ago, my dad had had a heart attack. He was in the hospital. And a week later, on Christmas morning, we got that phone call. We didn't want to hear. He'd had a second very, very serious heart attack up in the hospital. Didn't want to hear that message, didn't want to get it. And all of a sudden, you just feel weak inside, your heart is broken, and your whole life is about to change. What do we do when those times come in our life? Because we do live in a fallen world. It wasn't God, it was Satan's temptation, Adam and Eve's choice that brought sin and death into the world. And we all face these realities of the heartache of living in a world where death and sickness and disappointing news is often a part of life for each of us. And I think of the fact that the Bible teaches that in those kind of times, we need faith. We need faith in God, the unchanging God, the rock who is always there for us. And I see in the Bible the truth that we can have no faith. It's possible. Many have hearts of unbelief. We can have little faith, or we can have great faith. And as we read through the Bible, many of us are reading through the New Testament in this year, or we're reading through the whole of the Scripture. And constantly we're reminded about the importance of faith, that faith is the channel that connects us to God. And so we all know that we would long to have great faith, because we're going to need great faith when those difficult times come in our life. I think in Matthew 13, where it says, Jesus did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. And so oftentimes blessings are missed because there's just a lack of faith to trust God, to look to God. And then I think of the fact that in speaking to his disciples, where he had just fed 5,000 Jewish people out in the wilderness, they were hungry and they needed a miracle, and Christ performed a miracle. Then just shortly after that, he's in another part of the geography there among Gentiles. And there are thousands of Gentiles people. It's the same thing that had happened previously. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you brought no bread? You just saw me take just a little and turn it into a provision for many. Can't you connect the two? Don't you remember how many baskets of extra food we had afterwards? There were 12 of them. There's 12 of you. There's a whole basket. God is able to provide. He's able to meet our needs abundantly. Why are you doubting now?" And so it's possible to have no faith. It's possible to have little faith, which Jesus said here of his disciples. But then I think of the account where a non-Jewish woman from Canaan came to Jesus for help for the healing of her daughter. And the disciples urged Jesus, just push her away. She's non-Jewish. She's not one of us. And in Matthew 15, she came. This Gentile lady, she humbled herself and she worshiped and she said, "Lord, help me." And Jesus answered, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." That's a pretty strong statement. She was non-Jewish, and the disciples already had said to cast her away. Listen to her response of humble faith. Then she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Even the dogs are helped. "Won't you help me?" Ah, what faith. She had faith to come, even in the face of rejection and doubt by others and testing by Jesus, testing of her humility and testing of her faith. And then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith." You had faith to come and ask of what you needed. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, God honors faith. And God wants us to connect to him with great faith. This desperate woman comes and begs the Lord Jesus for help. What are you begging God for? In your prayer life, in your private time, when you read God's word daily and then you get alone with God and you talk to God, what are you begging God for? As you read through the Bible, you find people who are blessed are people who beg God. They get serious about God and they beg. If you were to make a list right now, here are the things I'm begging God for. What would be on that list? Well, this woman was begging God, and God wonderfully blessed her for her faith, for her humility in coming and asking of him what she needed. She just kept asking. She kept believing. She had great faith, and she received great things from God. Well, as believers in Jesus, we know the scriptures. The Bible tells us that if we've put our faith in Jesus, God is faithful in our life. Now we need to be faithful to him. He's faithful at all times, and his desire is to grow our faith. That's God's desire. And that's what we want to focus in on today. I love the verses in Hebrews chapter 12 where it says, following Hebrews 11, all the heroes of faith, men and women who trusted God, stayed faithful to God, and saw God be faithful to them. And then he summarizes it all and he says, since we're compassed about by the witness of all these people who've gone before us and they've proved God's faithfulness, let us lay aside our sin. There shouldn't be any sin in our life hindering between us and God, and the weights, the things that would distract us. Looking unto Jesus. We've already looked to him by faith to save our soul, but now we're looking to him every day for our needs, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the key to growing faith, is that we keep looking to Jesus. He initiated our faith. He's the one that gave us faith to trust and believe. And he's the one that is the finisher, the completer, the perfecter, the one who matures our faith. And so growing faith comes from continuously looking to Jesus and just learning what that means. Looking to Jesus, looking to Jesus. And so that's what we're doing together today. And we're confident, as Paul said to the Philippians, he said, he, God, who began a good work in you, who brought you to faith, he will be faithful to complete that work. He will continue the work in your life. He will perfect your faith. Now, today, let's answer three questions from God's word. The first question is what faith is. The second question is what faith does. And the third question is how faith grows. And I hope we'll all be really attuned to that, to say, Lord, I want to have a growing faith. I long for that. And so let's answer these three questions from the Bible today. Number one, what faith is? Faith is complete trust and confidence in God and his word. A great illustration would come from the father of faith in Genesis chapter 15. We read that verses earlier in our scripture reading. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, Abraham, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that comes forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now into the heaven, tell the stars if thou art able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now remember, Abraham's up in years at this point. He's up in years. Humanly speaking, this is impossible, but God's saying, I'm the God of the impossible, and I'm going to give you through Sarah a child, and your posterity is going to be as the stars of the heaven. And it says in verse 6, he, Abraham, believed the Lord. And it was counted. Now that's an accounting term. It was attributed on his account to him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed. Because he took God at his word. And so it was Abraham's belief, not his actions, that made Abraham right with God. It was a right faith relationship with God that saved his soul. Abraham had this heartfelt inner confidence that God exists, the creator God of the heaven, that he is who he has revealed himself to be. He will do what he says he will do. And that then out of this inward faith, which is the root of the right relationship with God, flows the fruit of good works. Good works are the fruit, but not the root of the right relationship. So God credits his righteousness, God's perfect righteousness, on the believer's account through faith. That's taught over and over in the Bible. God wants us to get it. This isn't like some secondary minor point. This is really essential. This is the foundation of your relationship with God for eternity, is it's based on grace through faith. Genesis 15:6. He believed the Lord. He took God at his word. And God counted it to him for righteousness. Romans 4 quotes that same verse, that Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And then he describes that in detail. And he talks about the fact that this blessedness came to Abraham before he was circumcised. So it was completely apart from any ritual or any other thing. It was sheer faith. God, by grace through faith, saved Abraham. In verse 9, faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Verse 20, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Galatians, Paul says the same thing again. As Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, we see then that saving faith is the channel through which we're saved. The basis of our salvation is grace, unmerited favor. The channel is faith. And so grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, is placed on our account when we trust in Jesus. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, declared just in God's eyes by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace, undeserved favor, you're saved. Through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, the just shall live by faith. So we see in the scripture this great teaching that's so foundational to everything else. Christ takes our sin on himself when we trust him as our Savior. And then he places his righteousness on our account. And we receive acceptance through this right relationship with God. And it comes by grace through faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He took our place. Who knew no sin? Jesus had none of his own. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah 53:6, the prophet foresaw it and said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to his own way. And the Lord laid on Jesus, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. He took my sin and the penalty of it. He died my death. He took my hell. And that's why John 3:16 then can give the promise that God so loved us that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, that's faith, who trusts in him, savingly relies upon him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. What a wonderful promise. Salvation and forgiveness of sins is not by works, as many of the religions of the world teach today. You earn your way to heaven through your penance, through your good works, through your rituals. And the Bible makes it so clear. No, you're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. If it was of works, you could boast. But now your only boasting is in Christ and Christ alone. Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, not giving us what we deserve. I deserve hell, and he doesn't give it to me. That's mercy. Grace, he gives me what I don't deserve, heaven. Grace and mercy is poured out through Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now here's a key then. Having come to God for salvation by grace through faith, we need to see that faith continues to be the vital channel in our relationship, grace-based with God, in our daily life. That is, believers walk and live by grace through faith. Paul teaches this in Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive him? By grace through faith. So walk ye in him. The same way you came to God with an empty hand, undeserving, humbly saying, God, I can't save myself. I trust Christ alone to save me. That's the same way now you live your life. You walk by faith. As you have received him, so walk ye in him. Learn to live a life of daily faith, daily dependence on God, daily fully relying on God in your soul. depending on Jesus for everything. Colossians 2:6 says, verse 7, we're rooted in him. We are built, continually being built up in him. We're established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding or overflowing with thanksgiving or gratitude. So Paul came to grasp this truth of living by faith, and he wants us to grasp it too. Not just saved by faith, by grace through faith, but living by grace through faith. And here's how he explains it in Galatians 2:20, familiar to many of you. I am crucified with Christ. That is, I was identified with Jesus on the cross. When he was crucified, I was crucified. I'm dead to my sin now because of my union spiritually with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The risen Christ has now come to take up residence in me through his Holy Spirit. And the life I now live in the flesh, the life I'm living in this human body as a redeemed believer, yet still in a fallen world with the fallenness of sin affecting me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by faith. I'm not just saved by faith. I live by faith, by grace through faith. So the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. God loves me. We heard about that last week. God cares. And never lose hope of that and confidence in that. God loves us. We don't deserve love. We're given love by grace. And he'll never quit loving us because that perfect love comes to us through Christ. And so this is how Paul learned to live. How could he go from place to place, be thrown into prison, beaten, left for dead over and over, and he keeps getting back up and he keeps right on going on? How does he do that? Well, it's not him, it's Christ in him. He's living by faith. He's trusting Christ to help him and to work good out of the bad things, out of the hard phone calls. Of course, he didn't have too many cell phone calls back then. He had bad news. It came into his life. And whatever came, he would just keep looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. I don't know how we're going to get through this, but I know we will get through this. God is going to take care of us. He isn't going to forsake us now. And so he lived by grace through faith the same way he was saved. Believers receive all that we need by grace through faith, including, and you read through your Bible and you keep finding out all the things God will give to the believer by grace through faith. What does Psalm 27 says? The Lord is my light. So I need direction for life. He'll be my light. He'll show me the way to go. He is my salvation, not just from hell to heaven, but I need deliverance daily from the difficulties of life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Do you ever just feel totally wiped out, weak? You know, you hit that bad news and your knees go weak and your stomach goes sick and you're weak. Where'd he go for strength? He is the strength of my life. He's the strength of my life. So we keep looking to God. We keep looking to Jesus by faith. Paul could write from a prison cell, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not a victim in a cell. He's a victor. God's got me in this set of circumstances. Now God's going to take care of me. He believed it. He trusted God. He lived by grace through faith. You have decisions you've got to make. We all do. It's a confusing, messed up world. What do we do? James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give to you. You live by faith, but don't ask doubting. Ask in faith, and God will liberally give you the wisdom that you need. So what is faith? Faith is fully relying on God. Faith is believing God and believing his word. Now turn with me to Hebrews 11 in your Bible, would you? And let's answer the second question, what faith does. Now the two go hand in hand and cross over at certain points, but what does faith do? What does faith do? Well, in Hebrews, you got this great whole chapter on faith, and it's a place we need to live in to grow our faith. One thing faith does is it gives you understanding. And in Hebrews 11:3, through faith, a continuing trust and confidence in God, we understand the worlds were framed or created, formed by the word of God. They were spoken into existence so that the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear, things that are visible. God, out of nothing, created the world. That's what we know. Why? Because it's revealed to us in Scripture. How would we ever know the infinite God of heaven if he didn't reveal himself to us? And he has, through his creation, through his inspired Scripture, through his Son Jesus. He has revealed and is revealing himself to us. So faith gives you understanding of things that the most profound intellectuals of the world can't figure out on their own. God gives you understanding. Faith is the channel through which we come to God. We've already seen that. Hebrews 11:6 puts it this way. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. That is, he exists. And he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so this is what faith is all about. God tells us faith will give you understanding. Faith will then be the channel through which you come to God. You come to God by grace through faith. And then faith helps you to understand that you are to believe God exists. Satan will do all he can. He's the planter of lies, doubt, and deceit. But we must come and believe that he exists, verse 6 says. We also are taught that faith will inspire us to diligently seek God. If God has created everything, he's created me, and he holds all the world and eternities in his hand, then the most important thing in my life ought to be God, right? Ought to be my relationship with God. That's the most important thing. So, okay, God, that's what you say is important is what I believe. And I'm going to have my relationship with you to be a growing faith relationship. That's going to be the most important thing. God helping me, that's my goal. I'm going to diligently seek you. I'm not a passive Christian. I'm an active, growing Christian with a growing faith by God's grace. We diligently seek him. And then faith teaches us that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We will never regret the diligence that we put into the growth of our spiritual faith and our walk with God. God teaches us this. Faith gives us hope for the future. We'll talk more about that next week from Hebrews chapter 11. Faith trusts when it can't trace. That is, there are things we can understand that God created, but there's some things we won't fully understand in this life. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested or tried, you're going to be tested and tried, and you won't always fully understand God's bigger purposes for what you're going through at the moment. He offered up Isaac. After that, he received the promises of God. He offered up or was ready to sacrifice his only begotten son, of whom, of Isaac, it was said that through Isaac, your seed, your descendants would be called. That was the promise God had already given him. But now he was told to sacrifice his son. He said, I don't understand this. Accounting or considering it reasonable to believe that God was able to raise him up, raise up Isaac, even from the dead. He said, well, if I'm supposed to sacrifice my son, the only way through my son the seed can be fulfilled is God's going to have to raise him from the dead. Well, then God's going to have to do that. He had that kind of faith that he received him in a figure. That is, he did receive Isaac back from the dead, figuratively speaking. In Abraham's mind, it was said, I'm going to obey God even though I don't understand. He would obey God. Isaac would die and he would be resurrected. That would be the only way he could see it. But then God intervened, and he was convinced in believing God, but instead God offered the substitutionary ram that was caught in a thicket. And that ram was a blood sacrifice, becoming a picture of what God already had planned for all of us, that our sin deserves death. And yet God will provide the sacrifice. And that's what he did in Jesus. All of this was the plan of God from eternity past. So faith trusts when it can't fully trace, and faith obeys God then. In Hebrews 11:23, what was true with Abraham, that he believed God and obeyed God because he believed, so too in the life of Moses. Remember with Moses, this Jew in bondage and slavery in Egypt, and Pharaoh doesn't like the growing population of the Jews, and he commands that all the baby boys be killed. And by faith, verse 23, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. So here, these two Jewish people, slaves in Egypt, had more respect for God than Pharaoh, who could take their physical life. So at the risk of their own physical life, they disobey the law, and instead of killing the baby boy, they preserve his life. And they then keep him alive. And then when he gets too old to where his crying will be heard, they put him in a little ark woven of reeds in the water to live, not die. And they're wonderfully blessed for their faith because God preserves Moses. He becomes the adopted son of Pharaoh and later becomes the deliverer of God's people. And so God is working good even in a fallen world. Faith is willing to suffer for doing right and sees the invisible. Verse 24 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here he had the riches, the position, he had it all. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming or considering the reproach of Christ, the hardship, the rebuke he would receive for standing with God's people, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect. He looked ahead unto the recompense, the greater reward promised by God. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He left Egypt, not fearing or being unafraid of the wrath of the king, for he endured. He steadfastly endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw the invisible God. He saw the creator God who is spirit and believed his word and followed God's will for his life, even when it took him through difficult paths. Faith identifies with salvation by trusting the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 11:28 bears that out. Through faith, he, speaking here of Moses, kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood on the doorposts, lest he that destroyed the firstborn of Israel should touch them. Now you'll remember, Moses, along with all the believing Jews who were there in bondage in Egypt, by faith, they obeyed God's instruction. They killed the Passover lamb. They then applied the blood to the doorpost and the lintel of their home. That night, when the death angel came through, wherever the blood was applied, the death angel did not enter in. The firstborn didn't die. He passed over. But in every home, including Pharaoh's own home, where the blood was not applied, the death angel passed in, didn't pass over, went in, and the firstborn died as a judgment from God for Pharaoh and Egypt's unbelief and rejection of God after all these signs that he had given them. The firstborn died, including in Pharaoh's own home. And that, as you remember, was the 10th plague that finally broke Pharaoh's will, and he released the children of Israel out of bondage. Well, the prophet Isaiah also pictured this substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Remember what he said in Isaiah 53:5? He, Messiah, Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions, for our sins, not his own. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement or the required punishment of our peace, our well-being, fell on him. And with his stripes, with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. He was oppressed, afflicted. He opened not his mouth. No complaint. He's brought as a lamb, Jesus, to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb or silent, he opened not his mouth. That's the reason then John the Baptist, being a student of Scripture, when he saw Messiah Jesus walking up, he pointed to him in John 1:29 and he said, there he is. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, Jesus spoke of John and he said, John, of all the people who've ever lived up till this time, John's the greatest prophet of all. And John the prophet, the greatest prophet till that day, he got it right. Who is Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. That's who he is. He's the Lamb of God. So have you believed the greatest prophet up till that day? Have you believed? I believe. I believe Jesus is the Lamb of God, because neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Well, faith, what does it do? It identifies with the Lamb of God. It overcomes. And you can scan through the remaining verses of Hebrews there. It's just wonderful. All the things that God does by grace through faith in the lives of men and women and young people and older people, it doesn't matter. When we believe God, that faith channel links us to the grace of God, and God does great things in the lives of his people. We read in verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, Rahab perished not. Verse 32, Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, by faith they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's Daniel and others. What a wonderful thing God did. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the sword, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast in the fiery furnace, weakness made strong, waxed valiant, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Others had a trial of cruel mockings, bonds, and chains. Some were stoned, some were sawn asunder, some were tempted, some were slain with the sword, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, the dens, and the caves. And verse 39, these all, having obtained a good report, divine approval through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for them. That is, that these men and women of authentic faith would not be made perfect, or that is complete in him apart from us. We're all part of that family of God that will be together in heaven. So we see it, both sides of the equation. Daniel, by faith, faces lions and is delivered from physical death and has many more years to keep serving God. Stephen, by faith, speaks up the truth to his authorities and through death is delivered into heaven for Jesus to greet him into his presence. It's in God's hands, the timing. We leave it to a sovereign God. And so by faith, each of these lived and died. What faith is, we need to understand it. What faith does, we need to appreciate it. It's the channel by which we live our daily life, moment by moment. Now let's wrap up with this, how faith grows. I would trust that by now, we're those of us who've come to faith in Jesus, we're just saying, yeah, I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to go from weak faith to strong faith. How do I grow my faith? Let's think about that here in conclusion. Faith grows, number one, as we're born again by faith through grace. What did Jesus say in John 3? You must be born again. You need a spiritual birth. How do you receive the spiritual birth? John 3:16, he that believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. We're born into the kingdom, into the family of God, by grace through faith, when we trust Christ as our Savior, that he died and took our place, was buried and rose again. So you can't grow till you have life. And spiritual life comes in when we repent and receive Christ as Savior. But that's the beginning, not the ending. And we need to see how important faith is, that the Bible doesn't treat this as a lesser thing. It's a foundational thing. It's by grace through faith. We're saved by grace alone through faith alone. And so it is that Jesus said in John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So there's no neutral in-between place. We either are a believer with faith or we're an unbeliever without faith, and it makes all the difference of eternity. Romans bears this, or excuse me, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, that is the faithless, and then it gives a list of murderers, whoremongers, sexually immoral, idolaters, liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So God is teaching us having faith's a big deal. This is a deal breaker for eternity for your soul. And without faith, you're in that category with those who will be cast in the lake of fire. Through faith, you're in that category of those who receive by grace a home in heaven for eternity. It makes all the difference for eternity. So then, how do we grow our faith? We receive Christ. Then we saturate our soul with Scripture. We've been talking about that. The best is yet to come as we saturate our soul. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God gives us the message of grace, the message of Christ. As newborn babies, Peter says, hunger after the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So my faith is going to be stagnant if I'm not feeding my faith on Scripture. How do I grow my faith? I've got to feed my soul on Scripture every day. You may miss out on some things in life without big consequence, but don't miss out on feeding your soul daily from Scripture. You may miss out on some things in a given week, but don't miss out on public worship and gathering together with other believers. As God says, forsake not the gathering together. As someone pointed out, the danger of missing church is that soon you don't miss it. And when you don't miss something that's essential, the food for your soul, Satan's got you right where he wants you to be. Now, as we saturate our life with Scripture, our faith will grow. And then as we saturate our life in prayer, and beginning to look at prayer not as a checkoff list, but as a love relationship of communication. God talks to me through the Word. I talk to Him through prayer in a love relationship, because what God wants is my love, to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so Jesus points it out that we should ask for growth of our faith. The disciples came in Luke 17 and said, increase our faith. That's a good prayer. Lord, increase my faith. I believe, but I want my faith to grow. We should pray. Lord, grow my faith. Grow my faith. And Jesus said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this tree, be plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea, and it would obey. Jesus put it this way. He said, I want a love relationship with you. If you abide in me, depend on me totally, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So I want a love relationship where I'm talking to you daily, you're talking to me daily, and you're seeing things in your life that only I can do. That's what I want for you, abiding relationship with Jesus. Our faith grows as we pray, as we talk to God. Our faith grows as we obey God's command to love one another. Also in that John 15 passage, this is my command, Jesus said, that you love each other as I have loved you. Wow, what a sacrificial love that is. Husbands loving our wife like Christ loves the church. The older women teaching the younger women to love their husbands, to love our children, to love our neighbors, to love people in need around us. As we learn to love one another, our faith grows. It gets stretched. As we look and keep looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, he's the author, the initiator, and the finisher, the completer, the maturer of our faith. So we're learning to keep looking to Jesus. It's a daily faith walk, a love relationship with him. As we yield and keep on yielding our lives to the indwelling Holy Spirit, he produces the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. And so your faith will be growing as you're praying, and in that prayer time, you're doing P-R-A-Y, praising God, repenting, asking, and you're yielding. The why is the yield. You're yielding to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you, but you're learning to yield to Him, not to your flesh, not to your sinful propensities, not to the world system around you or your friends. You're yielding to the Spirit of God as He speaks to you through the Word of God. Your faith is growing. And Paul puts it this way in summary, Galatians 5:24, we walk and live in the Spirit. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. We're learning to die to that old affections, and the old pull of the old man, the old sinful nature, the humanness side of us that's sinful and goes away from God. And we're yielding to the Spirit. And as we yield to the Spirit, since we have life in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Since your eternal life is through the Spirit of God indwelling you, now listen to Him. And let Him control your life. Let Him direct your life and your choices day by day. How can we grow from unbelief to faith? From little faith to more faith? From more faith to much faith and great faith? Well, we need to understand what faith is. It's believing God. It's fully relying on God and His promises. And then we need to appreciate what faith does. It not only saves our soul, but it sustains us. It is the channel through which we grow and are sustained and serve and mature. And then we need to understand how faith grows. That is, okay, Christ's the one who's the perfecter of my faith. This isn't something that I do in my own strength. But I'm going to join Christ in His work as the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm going to join Him daily in this faith relationship. This means then that we must trust God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. I can't save my own soul, but Christ can. I can't sustain my own life daily, but Christ can. I'm going to learn to be saved by grace through faith and walk by grace through faith. And then I'm going to take personal responsibility to join Jesus in His work of love, to grow my faith. He wants my faith to grow. He's the author and the completer, the finisher, the perfecter, the maturer of my faith. I'm going to join Him in His work. We don't work for our salvation. We work because of our salvation. It's a grace gift, but because we're saved, we're thrilled to work because of his goodness to us. What's your next step in a growing faith relationship with Jesus? A growing walk in the Spirit. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You're not saved by good works, but you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What are those next steps of faith that God is leading you to take that your faith would grow and abound and overflow so where it would not be only enough to sustain you, but that faith and grace would so overflow in your life that you would be a blessing to your mate, you'd be a blessing to your children, you'd be a blessing to generations to come. That's what God wants to do. Jesus put it this way in Mark 11, have faith in God. God wants us to have faith, great faith. Whatever you desire and you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When you pray, forgive. Hold no sin back. Here's this picture of the believer getting that hard phone call. If it were right now in your life, and maybe it was, and it is right now, would your faith be valued as, well, there's no faith here? Or would it be, oh, this is a person of very weak faith? Or would it be, no, this person has pretty strong faith. Oh, this person has great faith. You see, we're going to need great faith for the things that life will bring. We're going to need great faith. And when those hard times come, may we have been preparing our walk with God to where, because of our great God, faith is connecting us to his great power and his great love, determined to grow in faith by God's grace. I love this little story. A pastor of a small church would occasionally call on one gentleman to pray. And this particular guy, he just prayed right from the heart, and it was such a blessing. The pastor loved to hear him pray because this man clearly was in tune with God. But he would end his prayer with this strange phrase. He would say, and oh Lord, prop us up on the leaning side. And he said, what is that? And so finally he pulled the guy aside and said, I love to hear you pray. It's from the heart. But what do you mean when you say prop us up on the leaning side? You know, what's that all about? And so the guy says, well, I'm a farmer and I live out in the farm, work on the farm and out in the country. And I've got an old barn and it's been there a long, long time. And it's gone through lots of storms, lots of weather, lots of bugs have been eating on it. And I got to riding on my tractor the other day, and I'm looking out there riding, and I said, look at that barn. That barn's starting to lean on one side. And I thought to myself, oh, that's not good. It's just a matter of time until that barn's going to fall down. So he continued. He said, you know what I did? I went out, and I got some pine beams, and I propped it up on the leaning side. And it still leans. It probably always will lean. But I propped it up on the leaning side. It's not going to fall down now because I've propped it up on the leaning side. He says, then I got to driving on my tractor out there, and I was looking at that old barn propped up, and I got to thinking about the kind of year I've had. He said, you know, I've gone through some storms this last year. I've been through some really tough times. There's some people that are bugging me. And they're eating away at my joy. They're eating away at my spirit. I just got to thinking, but you know what? I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still standing after all the stuff I've gone through this last year. The storms and the howling winds, they couldn't topple me. I'm still standing by the grace of God. He concluded, from time to time, I find myself leaning toward my old desires, leaning toward anger, leaning toward becoming bitter or hateful at people who are bugging me. Or leaning toward going back to the old habits and the old life that I used to have. And when I feel myself start to lean toward that tendency, I just remember that old barn. And I pray out loud, thank you, Lord, for propping me up on the leaning side. Isn't that how we live? We live by grace through faith. And it's God who props us up. And it's Jesus who grows our faith. Now, do you need some propping up today? Well, then run to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith.